Good morning. We're going to jump right in. We are not going to get through the whole story of Nehemiah today. So I would encourage you to take some time this week to read the story of Nehemiah. It is one of my favorite stories in the whole scripture. And it is a great story about how great God is and about Nehemiah being a willing servant of the Lord on high. So take some time this week. Read the story. Read it in depth. Read it for fun. It is one of those stories that you think it would make a great movie, but it hasn't yet. Russell Crowe might do it one day. Who knows? I don't know. But we want to jump right into this morning and talk about Nehemiah. God's timing is not always our timing. In fact, sometimes we don't understand his timing at all. You know, the people of Israel, of Judah, had been cast into exile and taken in different times, different exile trips. You know, they'd been taken off to Babylon and then in the bigger kingdom, Persia. And Nebuchadnezzar, this king, crushed Jerusalem in a siege and tore down the walls of Jerusalem. Did you understand that these walls had sat in ruin for over 100 years? We think of, oh, well, Nehemiah, you know, he was in exile and he was cupbearer to the king, as you heard, and then he wanted to go back to Jerusalem. These walls had been torn down, demolished, and in ruin for over 100 years. People had already been allowed to go back by the king of Persia, and they had started to sort of rebuild their own places, started to rebuild the temple, but never touched the walls. They were perfectly okay with living in the rubble, living in the demolished walls, living in the shame of the destroyed world around them, the destroyed walls of God's fortified city. There's a message in this story for us today about God calling us to rise up and build, just as he called out Nehemiah and the people of Jerusalem and the surrounding area who were living and accepting the unfulfilled promise of God. They were okay at that place. They had come to be used to it. And that's where they stayed. I want you to listen to what happened when God called them and consider this morning that he is calling us to his work just the same. There are some steps that we want to follow this morning. First of all, that he was confronted by need. Nehemiah, when he heard about the situation of Jerusalem, he was confronted by the sadness, the disappointment of hearing that the walls were in ruin, the people were in trouble, and it caused him to be brokenhearted. The gates were destroyed by fire. The city was in ruins, and no one was doing a thing about it. It caused him to go into months of prayer and fasting about what God was doing, about his promises that were unfulfilled. He talked in his prayers about how great God was. He confessed the sins of his people that had caused the exile, that had caused the ruin of God's city. And he asked God to fulfill his promises. In that whole time, God opened his eyes. God showed Nehemiah the need for what he was going to do, for what God was calling and what God was wanting to do. Nehemiah felt the need. He saw the need. He understood the need for the people of Jerusalem, the people of Judah, to stand up for God, to be his people, to follow his call. Luke 10, 1 and 2, that we recently read and went through, it says, Jesus sent out 72, and he said to them as he was getting ready to send them, he said this, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest." Then he said, "Go your way. I am sending you out." Who was he asking to pray? He was asking the 72 to pray for the workers of the harvest. Who was he sending out as the workers of the harvest? The 72. He was calling them to pray about what he was challenging them to do, to be the workers of the harvest, to rise up, to do the work, to go on the name of, in the name of Jesus Christ. And so they were confronted by the need, but then they were also called to serve, called out to be God's people, to be the ones that would serve him in all kinds of ways. You think of the stories of Scripture. Some of my favorites, you see David, messed up in some ways, but God's man, where he killed Goliath. He went out and stood with a sling and stones because God called him. You think of Joseph. Where was he called? Out of a well that his brothers sold him into slavery, out of prison, called by God to be one of the second in command of Egypt, to save people through famine and to be God's man. You think of Gideon. The angel sat next to Gideon and said, "Oh, mighty warrior." Gideon's looking around like, "Who are you talking to?" He's in a wine press stomping his wheat, not grapes. He's stomping his wheat to try and get some food for his family, hiding from the enemy. And the angel says, "Mighty warrior." And he goes on to defeat the enemy with 300 men. The great stories. Called to serve. Nehemiah went to prayer for a few months. Not just overnight, not just 2 days. For a few months, Nehemiah spent praying, fasting. And it appears during this time that God impressed upon him, "Nehemiah, who's going to stand up and who's going to rebuild the walls? Will you?" And in that time, Nehemiah forms a plan where he talks about it as God's mighty hand being upon him and upon his heart. In that place, he is called out to serve his mighty God for God's glory. God said, "What about you, Nehemiah? Will you serve? Will you build my wall?" It's hard to build a wall, isn't it? You think of that, and for over 100 years, kids, that's older than your parents even, Nehemiah tuned his heart to God, what God cared about, what God wanted to see accomplished. He praised God, he confessed his sin, he went before him and called on his promises, and then he looked for the glory of God. What a model for us. In our prayer, not just to be asking for what we need, but what will bring glory to God's name. How will we serve God with our life? So he was called to serve, but then he stepped up and he said, "Yes, I will join the work. I will follow God. I will be his man." In 111 and then in 218, you hear that. So in 111, if you look there in your passage, it says, "O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight to fear your name, and give success to your servant today and grant him mercy in the sight of this man." You see, he was going before the king, right? He could be killed. It's a great story. Read it, where he said, "You know, whatever the king decides to do to me is fine, but I'm going to go before the king, and Lord, give me success." And so in that place, Nehemiah stood for God, was willing to be counted for him, willing to step out and respond in obedience, regardless of the outcome. He went before the king to act. The king noticed his face being sad, which is not a good thing as a cupbearer. He said, "Why do you look sick?" Think about that and talk to your family. And so, you know what he says there? He said, "I was very afraid," because it meant the possibility of losing his life with what he was about to say. And he asked the king, "Why shouldn't I be sad when my The city of my people lies in ruins. And he went before the king, looking for success by God's mighty hand. God granted him that success, and he joined the work. He gave the information to the king. The king actually gave him letters to go get wood for the gates, for passage to get there. And he gave him soldiers to go along with him. This whole idea that God had put upon the heart of Nehemiah, God was bringing about because Nehemiah stepped up in faith to be his man. The king said yes, and Nehemiah went. But as the story goes, in chapter 2, you see where he gets there, and he starts engaging with the people, and he walks the city looking at the walls that he had actually never seen intact. You know, we think of that. He's going back to rebuild the walls. He had never seen those walls intact. And so he walks the city, and he comes back. And he addresses the people of Jerusalem. He becomes God's instrument now, where he answered the call to now challenge the people of Jerusalem and the surrounding areas to answer the call. He confronts them with the need. He says there in 2:17, "You see the trouble we are in? Jerusalem lies in ruins. Its gates are burned." You think of our wall and the rubble it would be all around on the hillsides. The gates still charred and broken as they've disintegrated and fallen apart. And he says, "You see the trouble we're in? You see the disgrace to God's name?" And all they have to do is turn and look. And they're confronted by the need before them. They were living, accepting the unfulfilled promises of God, and not taking hold and stepping up and being God's people. Why didn't they act? Why didn't they see? Why don't we? But Nehemiah calls him out to serve, to follow God. He says, "Come, let us build the wall, that we may no longer suffer derision, disgrace, ridicule, shame, to build the wall for the glory of God. Come, let us build." He invites them to come and see the glory of God, to be the people that God calls to do the work, to follow him. Now let's understand this. Our wall is about a foot wide up here, and the bricks are not too heavy, right? The walls that Nehemiah directed the residents to rebuild in 445 BC, he used 41 building crews on 42 sections of the wall that we'll talk about. The wall was 2 to 2.5 miles in length around the city, 8 to 15 feet wide. Get that, 8 to 15 feet wide, between 12 and 30 plus feet high. They still have pictures of it if you look on the internet, sections going through the city where they say this they understand to be Nehemiah's wall. And you see the broad wall, you see the sections. Think of that. 8 to 15 feet wide, 12 plus to 30 plus feet high. Rebuilding that wall. It's a lot of work. It's a challenge. And you think, well, no wonder they didn't do the work of the building. They didn't even know where to start. But God sends Nehemiah, and he calls them to build, to join the work. And he told them that the hand of God had been upon him for his good, for God's glory. It was his God story of how God had impressed upon him to be the one that would rebuild the walls. Over 100 years had gone by, and now Nehemiah stands there and says, "I'll build. I'll go." Can you imagine that? And in that place, when he stood up, he shares with them how God's hand was upon him, that the king said yes, sent wood that they could see, the timbers, the soldiers that stood there with Nehemiah. They saw the glory of God at work. And they say to Nehemiah and to one another, let us rise up and build. That is such a great statement in all of the book of Nehemiah, the story of the walls, where the people agree to be God's servants, and they say, let us rise up and build. Chapter 3 then gives us a whole listing of how the people join together in these 42 work sections and how they decided to take on this task for God and do it. Who helped? The priests. Some on the opposite walls of their house, men of Jericho, goldsmith, perfumers. I'm sure they were trained in the masonry, right? Rulers and sons, people of Zenoa, the Levites, the temple servants, the merchants. Even it says in there at the end of one section, a man and his daughters. I was talking to one guy who's, he said, you know, it's great. A man and his daughters went and built. It didn't matter who they were. Together, they said, let us build the walls. And you think of that and all that was happening there. And how from that point you think, this is great, it's going to be a piece of cake, off we go. And they built the walls until half the walls were built up to half its height. And you think, that's the easy part, right? The first half, because the blocks are all just sort of tumbled down. They get the big blocks, they bring them up, they, you know, the easy work. You know, carrying these big, no cranes, no excavators, no bulldozers. How long has it taken them to do the highway through Albany? 52 days they build this wall. 52 days. But in the face of building, they faced great opposition. And we ought to understand that when we step out to serve God, to be his people, there will be opposition. There will be times in our lives where we struggle, where evil comes upon us, where negative things happen in our lives. The question is, what will we do at that time? How will we respond? It says in there in the chapter 4, it talks about how their energy was fading. They didn't know how to even go forward. You know, all they could see around the city was the rubble and the stuff that was useless in their minds to build the walls. They faced the opposition where they threatened to come by night and kill them all. Nehemiah's response, he gathered them, he prayed, and he set a guard. So they went to work with their swords and with their spears, and he set a guard in the low spots. He set a guard and a plan, and he prayed that God would give them the strength, that God would carry them through. And they kept building in the face of opposition, trusting in God for the future, that he would accomplish his plan, even when it was difficult, even when it was hard, even when they faced destruction, to trust in God. He said in there, and this is the stuff great movie moments are made of. He said in there, do not be afraid of them, their enemies. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. And fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. Doesn't that sound like he's going back and forth on the wall and yelling this to the city of people? Remember the Lord and fight for those that he's given you. To rise up and build as God has called and as God has ordained and called us to fulfill his mission for his glory. 52 days they built the wall. At the end, after it was all done, they stopped and they celebrated God's work. And they gave glory to God who is the one who gave them the strength and the power to do it. And they dedicated the walls. It says there that they sent choirs and the leaders and people up on the wall and walked in opposite directions for those 2 miles around the city and walked the walls and praised God with musical instruments and lifting God's name. You think of this story. And what does it all mean for you and me here today? We have the opportunity to build not a wall, but a church of people. To bring glory to God, just like Nehemiah did with the people of Jerusalem, where they finished this wall and it was a testimony to God's work, to God's glory. What is he calling us to? To bring glory to his name. What's your God story? What does it mean for us here today? I want you to listen to one of our couples here at church. The Crabtree's going to come up, and they're going to share with us their God story about answering the call to serve with Faith Kids.
Good morning. If you had told me a year ago that I'd be teaching Sunday school every week to a group of energetic first graders, and that I'd look forward to it, I probably wouldn't have believed you. But the Lord works in interesting ways. So, last fall, we heard that there was a need for first grade teachers in Faith Kids. So we agreed to teach for a few months. we thought that it was important to serve and to help train up the next generation. I was concerned at first that I didn't have the right gifts, the right talents, to really do the job. I wasn't worried about Jen. Jen used to be a teacher, so she's wonderful with kids. I'm an engineer. I don't spend my days with kids, usually. But God can use anything that we bring to him with a willing heart. As an example, when we studied David and Goliath, we learned that story. We built marshmallow slingshots. Right, that was our activity. And who better to teach kids how to build a slingshot than an engineer, right? And who better to use as a target than the 6-foot-tall, Goliath who's teaching the class, right? So as it turns out, the Lord led us to continue teaching through the remainder of the year. And it's been rewarding for us, but more importantly, I think it's had an impact on the kids as well.
So I've seen God in the interactions of the first grade classroom that have been really, I think, pretty amazing. We've been studying the Old Testaments and the prophets, and over again, the kids have seen how sin comes in and God shares how his mercy and love over and over again forgiving us. And we've also had the opportunity to see the children take an active role in prayer for each other. They've had a prayer journal, and they've seen and kept track of how prayers have been answered. And I think the most important part for Andy and I have seen how kids have connected with each other, encouraged each other in their walk, even looking to us, asking about our weeks and how we've done. And we've shared a prayer request. And we just continue to look forward to what will happen in the coming year as we join them again and are part of the team.
Thanks, Goliath. John MacArthur, a pastor and commentary writer, asked a great question. If someone wrote a summary of what happened in our church and who did the work, would you be listed favorably like those in chapter 3 of Nehemiah? As each one took a part and worked together, the whole wall was completed in 52 days. It is a fantastic story of God's great might and power. Will you join the work of the ministry? There's a section of wall waiting for you. Waiting for you to bring out the glory of God, to build that wall up, to be a testimony of who he is, how he is at work, the great and God that he is, and he's calling you. Together we can make a difference in the lives of our children, our students, our adults. Together we can make disciples, build the church, glorify God. He will do great things as we step out. In your bulletin, there's a form, a flyer. Join our team. It's an opportunity for you now to say, yeah, I'll rise up and build. Maybe you already are working somewhere, but I'll tell you this. together, God has a plan for us. With our children's ministry looking for teachers and nursery workers, with our youth ministry looking for people in Route 56 and other places, for our adults looking for people to lead our Sunday school classes, our small group hosts, second half ministry team, and maybe there's a slot for other on there. There's a pen in the front, pew in front of you. All you have to do is say yes. I'll talk to somebody and put it in the on the racks in the back. Let's put the offering plates up, if we can, on the sides. And what is God doing in you? What is he calling you to do, as he called Nehemiah, to rise up and build? Will you rise up? Will you build what God has planned? Let's stand. Lord, thank you for being our great and mighty God. And as we go with this song, we praise your name because you are doing a mighty work, and we want to bring glory to your name. So work in us to rise up and build for your glory.